Today's Feast of Fools is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment.
Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffools for details.
There is much to celebrate. Barack Obama, the senator from Illinois, made history this week as the first black candidate to be elected president of the U.S. of A. People are thrilled. So why do I feel like crying inside?
As fortunate as we are to have an intelligent, progressive, and inclusive leader and a Democratic House and Senate, many people in this country are disappointed that California's Proposition 8 may have passed, taking away same-sex couples' right to marry.
How did this tragedy happen? After all, most of California voted for Barack Obama, who was against the proposition in the first place.
On today's show, San Francisco resident Curtis Jensen talks about the mood of the city upon learning the news and pondering how this defeat will affect the struggle for equality.
Four simple steps you can do to heal, learn, and grow from this painful loss.
How to use sex in the advancement of civil rights.
Plus, sex toys are now officially legal in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. There is much to celebrate. Obama really is getting this nation's groove back. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fools.
Let's get it on. Feast of Fools is proud to be nominated for the Podcast Awards in the top category of People's Choice and Best GLBT Podcast.
We are extremely honored and touched. Go to podcastawards.com today for the last time and vote. Go to podcastawards.com.
Vote, baby, vote. Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. Arr! It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube is the shame-free zone that keeps us all together. LifeLube.org, hit the sweet spot.
Oh, yes.
So what did you think, Fausto, the other night on CNN during the election when Jessica Yellen came on as a hologram?
Well, I thought that the coverage of the election of the last year or so, as CNN beautifully put, what a long, strange trip it has been. And then yesterday, we are in the middle of Grant Park, surrounded by thousands upon thousands of Barack Obama supporters, the beautiful people in Chicago, Illinois, in a dazzling diversity of all ages, races, sensibilities. Lots of hot young guys.
Lots of hot young guys, for sure.
Especially Middle Easterners. And so we're watching
African-American women who smoked.
And so we're watching, yes, lots of, I thought it was people interesting. There was a lot of tension there. And because
there was,
well, because we don't really know the outcome of it. And so you're surrounded by all these people and you don't know who you're standing next to.
Yeah.
And so I noticed that some people were actually had brought little flasks of themselves with beer or alcohol just to relax and wind down.
Well, there were certainly people were very anxious and stuff, but I don't think
even my mother was anxious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, I've never been wrong about predicting a presidential election in my entire life.
Ever.
And I was,
they should just
my record still.
They should not 100%. Even conduct polls. The CNN should just call you and be like, Fausto, who's going to be the next president?
They should call me.
And then you'll be like, it's going to be this person.
But does anybody care about my opinion?
Wolf Blitzer
might. Listeners do. The listeners do.
And Wolf Blitzer.
And Wolf Blitzer, you know, there are people out there that care about my opinion. And,
they do.
You know, certainly Scooty and JoJo improved their show remarkably a year later after listening to my advice on them. But I thought it was interesting. So we're standing there in the middle of Grant Park watching television, which is, you know, the great American pastime next to listening to podcasts.
Go outside, watch TV.
With strangers. And CNN magically makes people materialize into their newsroom.
via the hologram.
Well, in a video technique that best can be described as resembling the holograms from the film's Star Wars.
Right, except not so flickery, because those always flickered, you know?
They like had Obi-Wan a little bit Kenobi. Of flickery thing yeah, on them.
A little bit, but not...
And
not,
the halo not, outside.
Not, yeah, the halo is the
and
most
And the Star Trek
thing.
Style beaming in. I thought that, you know, for so the science fiction geek inside me, mm-hmm. I was delighted by
well,
that.
Well, I see the future of this, not so much for CNN, but I guarantee that this is going to make its way into the porn industry. And so you're going to see, you're going to have virtual porn in your home.
I strongly, like strongly doubt that.
Why do you doubt that?
Well, for one, there was a video technique that was designed for the viewers at home, not so Wolf Blitzer could feel like he was having a one-on-one conversation with Will.i.am.
He says he was looking at her as though she was really there.
Well, he was just kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, he was lying about that?
He was just pretend. They were sort of being silly, you know?
Were they?
I think so. They were trying to be silly.
Because you know how they have the webcams and stuff like that, and the titty shows, and all the boy shows, and whatnot, and they show little pieces of what you got and stuff like that. I think there's probably going to be some of that going on. You're going to have like a little screen in your house. You're going to be sitting there, and it's going to be like a 3D rendering. She's going to turn around, and then there it is.
I'm already missing Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. You know the nuttiness, because you know the thing is that when Wolf Blitzer is the nutty person. And not Sarah Palin. You're kind of like, oh, I miss that crazy Tina Fey impersonator. Oh,
I was talking to my mother today, and she had seen Tina Fey last week in Pennsylvania. Not Tina Fey, I'm sorry.
Sarah Palin
Sarah
is
Palin's
the person who was
president.
Running.
Tina Fey is the one on 30 Rock. Okay.
She's the comedic writer that resembles the vice presidential candidate.
I'm glad I got that straight. So she went and
Somebody's
saw her.
Somebody's still hung over here.
I'm just making a joke, and I just wanted to tell my mother, I'm like, God, Mom, why would you even want to go see her? She's so stupid. But I didn't. I was just like, oh, yeah, that's nice. That's nice. My mom's really...
So you didn't tell your mama to vote for Obama.
I did. Why? Of course. But of course, she's going to vote for McCain. She's an old lady. And she's like, I respect... But
the question is here...
what he did for his country and the wars. And he went through a lot. And I'm just like, yes, he went through a lot. And she's really worried about the future now that Obama's president. So I said to her, Mom, what's the worst that could happen? And she goes, oh, I don't know.
Terrorism.
She doesn't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
But I think that's part of the Republican Party strategy was that to bring in the unknown, the fear, you know, Obama's the outsider.
The other.
He pals around with terrorists.
I know. He's got a preacher that is anti-American.
It is sort of, though, I have to say, though, in reality, Barack's middle name is...
Hussein,
mm-hmm. who was the same last name as the declared enemy of the Bush administration.
Yeah, but they hung him. They killed him.
But it's still, I think, significant that our next political leader has the last name of, you know, public enemy number two.
That's what the Republican Party would like you to believe. But let me tell you, Hussein is a very, very common name in the Middle East.
I'm not, I'm saying Barack Obama's middle name is Hussein.
Yes, it is.
And I think that's something beautiful, something really good that we have managed to sort of embrace our fascination, our hatred or our confusion with the outside world. And I think it actually, because I've been reading some blogs about how being an American is actually going to become cool and hip again. And it all started with the Will.i.am virtual hologram on CNN.
He wasn't the first one. It was that Jessica Yellen was the first.
Yeah, but that's not the one that people remember, though.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody wants to be best friends with Will.i.am. Mm-hmm. And so the ability to like materialize him into Wolf Blitzer's newsroom sort of has that wonderful idea that people can materialize any celebrity they want, you know?
Well, maybe that's the future of these kind of things, too. You'll be here and then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, I'll talk to Will.i.am for a minute and then he'll be like wherever he is.
I can have the real Celine Dion. Actually, interesting enough, Celine Dion will perform for just about anybody in their living
anybody.
Room.
She'll just come on over. She'll be like, where do you want me? Rene Charles, can he come? You know, he
and then she'll go, boop, beep, pop, boom, boom, boom. I am a singer. Loo, la, la, la.
I kind of thought for sure she would show up last night and do a little singing and dancing because she was at the United Center.
Where were you, Celine?
I know.
¿Dónde estás?
I don't even think she's American. Well, she's American, but she's Canadian.
She's multinational. She's a cosmopolitan woman. She's a citizen of the cosmos. And she likes to drink.
I bet she has a passport that says that, too.
Yes.
She
probably does. Actually, her passport has her name on it, like as the country.
Celine
Dion. And it's just a little... And then when you open it, it's just a picture of Celine Dion on the inside. There has no written information. Her age definitely is not on it. And then it has like a little chip where you can stick it into your computer and listen to her music.
And it will break your computer because it has a DMR on it. What is it called? Digital rights management thing on it?
Yeah.
Didn't her
That's
CD...
DRM.
DRM. Didn't her CD break computers before because it had some kind of weird DRM on it?
Celine Dion was one of the first mainstream or sort of corporate rock stars that put digital rights management onto her CD, new technology. And the unfortunate problem was that this technology was not designed to work with computers. So anybody who stuck her CD, the computer, it would sort of destroy your computer.
It would say, "Je suis désolé. I'm sorry."
It would say, "Bon voyage, baby.
Bon voyage."
But
to
you know
musique.
What? Yeah. Everything is not happy in the world today because a lot of gay and lesbians are devastated, crushed because marriage equality has been taken away in California as a...
Maybe.
It's up in the air, but it looks like it's the proposition is going to pass.
Well, they still, as of this recording, there's still some outstanding votes for them to count. So maybe there's a chance it could still happen or not happen.
But the fact that right now the people for Proposition 8 have declared a victory, and it seems unlikely that victory will be taken away from them. That being said, there's hundreds of thousands of Californian same-sex couples that have been legally married in the state. And what are they going to do? Take away their marriage certificates? I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I always was under the impression from the very beginning that it wouldn't affect those people that were married, and that's why they went out and got married. Because
so Georgia K is going,
them.
Well, who's laughing now?
And so they got married. But I mean, come on, what about the future of people? And what about when these people get divorced and then want to get remarried to somebody else?
They won't be able to. So it raises a lot of like confusing legal questions. And I think that this is just the beginning. I think there's much to celebrate. We need to look at the glass as half full. Mm-hmm. And I think that the gay rights movement, the trans rights movement, the lesbian, the bisexual people in this country who are fighting for equality will hopefully learn lessons from the failure of this fight and invigorate the movement. I want to do a shout out to our blogger, Jason Nelson, who writes for Out Magazine's website in New York City. That's what he told me. And all the people at Out Magazine, they're all like invigorating and cheer. They had a little pep rally in their offices today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to let Prop 8 defeat them?
Yeah, because all these people who work for like gay and lesbian press and media, and they're all bummed out today. You know?
Well, I mean, it is a bummer. It's a huge bummer because so many people work so hard and they invested so much. And of course, you know, it's marriage. So what is marriage about mostly is it's about love, and we all have romantic notions about love. And so when this is happening, when something like this happens, it's as though, you know, your heart's being taken out and then thrown on the ground and then stomped on it with stiletto heels, and cigarette butts are put out into it.
You know, Mark, some people actually pay for those services.
That's true. But those are the kinky, crazy people.
You know, so it's not Folsom Street Fair. But actually, we have Curtis Jensen.
He's the marketing director for Steamworks, one of the sponsors for the show. He's an avid fan and listener of the show and a wonderful contributor.
And a gay rights activist in his own heart, a fierce, fierce, fierce person living in San Francisco. Let's actually talk to him about what happened with Proposition 8. Curtis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Curtis, sweetie, breathe, baby, breathe. It's going to be all right. Not in that sense. R2-D2 is not there right now. So, Curtis, what happened with Proposition 8? Why did it fail in why did it fail to protect? Maybe that's the problem, is that it was confusing. Gay people voted for it when they should have been voting against it.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there was a minor chance of that. Mm-hmm. And who knows, with a close race, you know, maybe that did affect it. But I think people in California pretty much understood what was going on. I think that, you know, it's a combination of things. You had the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church in particular, along with some other right-wing religious organizations who threw all of their energies into promoting Proposition 8.
And so much money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they spent, I think, somewhere between $20 and $30 million on the campaign. Most of it raised, you know, well in advance of a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. As of 2 weeks ago, the No on 8 campaign had raised less than half the amount that they did. And that's kind of where the other part of, I think, the failure mm-hmm. for the responsibility for the failure comes. And I think that part of it is, you know, we have to take our own responsibility for it, that the gay community didn't really do, I mean, even myself, I, you know, as much as I feel like I did, I know that there's probably more that I could have done.
Well, do you think there was a fear that that putting effort into fighting Proposition 8 would have taken energy away from trying to get Barack Obama elected, and that maybe people in California felt that their own civil rights, the gay and lesbian people felt like their own civil rights were not as important as the future of this country and getting this man elected?
I don't think that there was ever a question that Obama was going to carry California. I don't, you know, this state was never in play.
But you had like civil rights activists from San Francisco driving to Nevada to get people to registered and make sure they were voting.
Well, yeah, sure, you probably had some of that, but I think that was pretty minor. You know, the vast majority of gay people, you know, stayed here and did stuff here, and you know, and that's one of the problems. A lot of gay people focus all their energies in the Bay Area. You mm-hmm. know, putting a No on 8 sign in a window in the Castro is nice, but it's more of an empty show than an actual persuasive act.
I thought I had heard a figure that only about 50% of the people in San Francisco voted.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm not sure about that. That seems bizarre to me. This is an incredibly politically engaged city. I think in a normal election where we have a higher than normal turnout for election, for voting, so that doesn't make any sense to me. That would be very surprising if it were true. I personally haven't seen the numbers, but that would be shocking to me.
Well, do you think that the future of this issue is that it's actually going to invigorate the queer civil rights movement in this country and actually might be better for us in the long run?
Well, I would like to hope that that's maybe what we can get out of it. You know, I think that we have to, you know, I've talked about this a little before, and one of your other guests did too, that we really do have to be very vigilant now that we have Obama in the White House and a nice, comfortable majority in both the Senate and in Congress. We can't just sit back on our laurels and think that just because we feel like the right people are in office now that everything is going to turn out our way. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that it turns out our way. I think that we have to put the pressure on starting now. And particularly because another reason why this failed is that Democratic leadership, as wonderful as they are, and as much as I believe that they are on our side at the end of the day, they kind of failed us. There wasn't a single major candidate for president, Clinton, Obama, Edwards, mm-hmm. any of them, who was for gay marriage. They had all made statements against it. And they were all being used by the Yes on 8 campaign as part of the Yes on 8 campaign.
Because the Yes on 8 campaign actually said that Obama supported them.
Well, actually, well, right, in reality, he didn't.
Well, he had made a specific comment about 8, but he had more publicly and more frequently made public statements where they were opposed to gay marriage. Biden reiterated it very publicly in the very highly watched vice presidential debate.
Now, do you think that maybe that the...
They left no doubt that their personal positions on gay marriage was that they were opposed to it. I personally don't even believe that was true. And that's what's even more sad about it. I don't believe in my heart that Obama really is opposed to gay marriage. I think that it was, on the part of both him, Clinton, and Edwards, a cynical political move that they needed to make in order to win, and I'm willing to accept that because I'm glad we won, and I know that it might have been a harder road for them had they been supportive of gay marriage. It might have become a national issue, and we didn't want that. But now that they've won, they're in power, I think it's time to make good on kind of throwing us under the bus in a way and taking for granted that we would support them.
Can we use another expression other than throwing us under the bus? Okay. I felt like that CNN was just throwing that expression under the bus.
Okay.
All the time.
How about scapeout?
They abandoned us in our time of need, and they took our support for granted.
So there's also, I don't know if you're following this too, but certain legal entities like Lambda Legal is also looking into suing this proposition because they say that it was unwarranted and that it was unfair and unjust.
Yeah, the National Center for Lesbian Rights has already filed suit with the California Supreme Court.
What's going to happen to the 100,000 or so gay couples that already have been married, including...
I don't think it's
100,000. There's a total of 18,000.
18,000, okay. Somebody was giving me a different figure before the show, but...
Jerry Brown, who is a former governor and is the current attorney general for California...
Mm-hmm. Didn't he go out with Linda Ronstadt?
Yep.
I'm sorry?
Didn't he go out with Linda Ronstadt?
He did. He was a swinging single when he was the governor. he was ironically the attorney general who had to defend the Knight initiative, which was the original 1999 initiative that defined marriages between a man and a woman. But that's what the Supreme Court recently found to be unconstitutional. He was defending the Knight initiative as attorney general because it was state law at that moment. His position is that he will defend whatever the state law is currently.
Because that's his job.
That's his job. So he will now have to defend Proposition 8. But he also has made it very clear that all 18,000 of these marriages were legal marriages, binding marriages in the state of California when they were performed. And he will defend the right of those 18,000 people to maintain the legal status of their marriages because they did occur in a legal environment, and no part of Proposition 8 states that it would take away any existing marriages.
Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot more that's going to happen about this, and certainly, you know, it's not. I would remind our listeners that it's not over, and certainly the fight is going to continue. And just because this proposition was passed doesn't mean that it actually is legal. Mm-hmm. And sure. Governor Schwarzenegger said, I think he's actually against it.
He was against the proposition. He was actually, you know, frankly said more to help our side than any of the Democratic leadership, I'll give Dianne Feinstein credit. Mm-hmm. She, at the last minute and kind of inexplicably, you know, came out and did a commercial that was saying all the right things. She was kind of calling it like it was, and it was finally good to see old Di-Fi come out and do something, because she's been kind of irritating people here for the last several years.
Why do you think, because this proposition was put out there, and when was it, in March?
Well, they've been collecting signatures since last summer, so it was in the works and happening before the Supreme Court.
But then it was also to the language of the Prop 8, I think, got changed where it was actually talking about taking rights away from individuals. That was
the language that was in the voter information.
Right. And that was like July-ish?
California voters. Yeah. They did change that.
Okay.
Now, I'm just wondering. Once it was legal, it changed what the nature of the proposition was.
I just wonder, why do you think that it seemed as though we were so late to the game? Because it was, you know, we kind of talked about this, you know, in July, and then of course we went out to San Francisco in August. But I just never really got much of a reaction from it until like the last couple of weeks, where all of a sudden people were just like, oh my God, Prop 8, Prop 8, Prop 8.
Right.
Why do you think it took so long for the community to mobilize?
I think we were kind of lazy. We kind of expected that the people who we view as the professional political people, our activists and our lobbying groups, and Equality California in this particular instance, that they were going to do it, that they were the experts in the field, they knew what they were doing, and they were going to take care of it. And it's California, everything's fine, it's a liberal state, we're good to go. And, you know, it became shockingly clear about three to four weeks ago that, A, we had failed to raise even half the money that the right wing had, and that we were failing as a result. And this is also part of the problem, is that at the end of the day, I think Equality California ran a fairly lame campaign. they didn't, part of their job was that they needed to engage.
But you're being a little bit harsh on these people.
No, I've heard it from a lot of people.
I think they ran a pretty poor campaign, though.
They ran a poor campaign. Their primary commercial before 4 weeks ago was an older couple who, visually, the moment you saw them, they were easy to dismiss if you were a Republican. They looked like stereotypical Bay Area liberals.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was like this older couple where the woman was sort of like anti-beauty. She barely had any makeup on. She'd let her hair go gray. it was like an ultra-liberal Bay Area.
Sure, she had a white person with dreadlocks.
She had a flower dress.
She had a batik, necktie.
Quite like that. The people who were voting
Guatemala.
They live in the Central Valley. They live in Southern California. Yeah. And their image of what a respectable woman looks like is not someone who's let their hair go gray or that doesn't wear makeup. We should have gotten one of the Real Housewives of the O.C. to be on her side.
I kind of started paying more attention to the Prop 8 ads when they had Molly Ringwald in them. And I was like, Molly Ringwald!
Those kind of things were far more effective. All came very late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that point, even at the very, very end of the game, mm-hmm. there is not a single ad that features gay people telling their stories. Every single ad is either the cast of Ugly Betty, Samuel L. Jackson, Dianne Feinstein, an elderly couple from the Bay Area, all these people who have nothing at stake other than their interest in equality in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And when there was an initiative in California in the 70s to take jobs to prevent gay people from being teachers in this state,
mm-hmm.
gay people ran a successful campaign against that proposition by going to the Central Valley and Southern California and going door to door and kind of forcing people to look a gay person in the eye and tell them that they were going to vote to discriminate against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a winning formula. And it's like we forgot an incredible lesson that we had learned, 30 years ago, how to win one of these races.
But that does take, it takes balls to do that, to walk up to a house of complete strangers and be like, look,
sure.
I want you to, realize that this is who I am, because it makes yourself kind of vulnerable, I guess, is what it is.
But remember that was an even more horrifying mm-hmm. thing to do in the
70s. Mm-hmm.
When very few people were publicly out of the closet.
And you know what? That's what the Mormons do, isn't it? Don't they go up and knock on doors and say, hey, can I talk to you about the Book of Mormon?
Exactly. Yeah, but the Mormons have hot young men. Maybe we should get the hot young studs that spend all their time disco dancing.
Yes, we'll pay strippers to go to the Central Valley.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Pavel Novotny. Please vote against Proposition 8. Remember, folks, today's Feast of Fools is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like this show, Feast of Fools.
Log on to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffools to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, go to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffools for your free audiobook.
And, the thing about it is that it really is a free audiobook. And let me go just right now to the website. So two distinguished, fabulous authors have just passed away this weekend. Michael Crichton.
He wrote Jurassic Park, one of your favorite movies.
Yeah, but they don't ever say his name in the movie.
Oh, no, they don't. But he did write the book. And so they actually have that book at Audible. So you can get that for free.
And it's narrated by John Hurd.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
He's a famous actor.
So they usually charge $11.90, which mm-hmm. is $12.
And how much is it for Feast of Fools listeners?
Free.
Ooh.
Ding, ding, ding. Free. Now, you can only get one book per credit card. Mm-hmm. So if you have multiple credit cards, as being an American person, you can. They do this so you're not going to just download, different email accounts and download all their books.
You have to give them a card.
But this is the way we're going to teach you how to hack the system. So if you have multiple credit cards, go to audiblepodcast.com/feastoffools and set up a separate account, and you can get as many credit cards you have, you can get as many free audiobooks.
Really?
Why not?
I don't know.
That's how they limit it.
Isn't it one per customer?
It's one per credit card, which is one per account.
Okay.
So you have to set up an account, and it's also tied to your email address.
Okay.
But we want to encourage you
always
guys.
Always trying to hack the system.
Well, we want to give our listeners value for listening to the show, and this is the way to do it.
Well, another thing you can get for free is Studs Terkel, Chicago's very own, who is a famous radio personality and interviewer and author of many books. He passed away this past week, too, so he'll be sadly missed. But you can get one of his books called, what's it called, Coming of Age?
Yeah, and so what this book is Studs Terkel doing interviews with very different men and women ranging in the twilight years of their lives from ages 70 to 99. Some of powerful celebrities like Maggie Kuhn of the Grey Panthers or economist John Kenneth Galbraith. Others are obscure people in small towns, but together they represent an extraordinary panorama of American life and work throughout the century and in ways how times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing is that for me as an interviewer, Studs Terkel is a person that's really informed the way I interview people. I've known about this man since I was like...
I read his book, Working in High School. And
we all read Working in High School.
Oh, we did we?
Everybody did. Well, I read it in college, but I went to high school in Puerto Rico. But but Working is a really important book because he is kind of the man that made the oral history, the idea that we can learn about significant historical events by listening to the everyday person. Mm-hmm. He's the man who popularized this concept. And so talk show hosts like Johnny Carson, who also said publicly that the interviews with everyday people or the big celebrities were just as important because they illustrated the way the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Studs Terkel is somebody who really put that concept to work, is saying it's just as important to interview these newsmakers, these legendary celebrities, and interview the everyday person because the world changes in such distinct and quiet ways sometimes that we fail to see it happen.
That's true. I think Working influenced my life very much so.
And it influences this show. So if you like The Feast of Fools, I recommend go get your credit card ready and go to audible.com. They're never going to charge you for anything. But by the Coming of Age, I recommend that one. Or Touch and Go is another one of one of his books turned into an audiobook. So check it out. So but this is an interesting thing we got from Out Magazine blogger Jason Nelson. On Facebook, there was a huge, huge bitch slapping fest. And we'll put the whole transcript on our community forums because it's really very entertaining. I was just going to read it to you a little bit about it. And for privacy reasons, we'll take out the full name of the people.
Sure.
So this is Jason wrote in his Facebook status message, Joey doesn't understand why so many people hate us so much. Jason writes, it always comes down to protecting those hideous little children. If God loved them so much, he wouldn't make them so goddamn ugly. Joey, I love it when you're bitter. Wait, maybe that's the reason they hate us. We're so angry and bitter. Terrell. This is the straight antagonist, the naysayer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with hate. We, those who oppose gay marriage, just want to keep marriage as a union between a man and a woman. You have your beliefs. We have ours. Why do you, supporters of gay marriage, insist on taking our union and making it yours? If you want an alternative lifestyle, why not come up with an alternative union? Terrell, taking bets on how long Joey deletes my comments. Haha, I'm not going to delete it. It pisses me the hell off, but I'm not going to delete it. Also, because I know my friends will have fun tearing you to shreds. So the thing continues and continues and continues.
Mm-hmm.
And
it sounds like a conservative argument.
It's I think that
probably a closet case.
Well, this is sort of illustrating the one of the big obstacles that we have for gay and lesbian equality. I'm kind of on the same stance as Shirley Phelps, is that we need to force these milquetoast, middle of the road, swing voters, liberal, straight people that are like, we love your gay shows. We watch Ugly Betty. We listen to the Feast of Fools. We love everything that's gay, but we don't want your gayness affecting my straight culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I would argue that a lot of straight people need to look upon what their lives are like now as opposed to 50 years ago. And I would argue that straight people are becoming more and more like gay people, not so much that gay people are becoming like the straights. And straight people will disagree with me on this.
My own
close friends, yeah. I was in a huge argument this weekend with some straight friends of mine in New York City about this. And I said, You talk about embracing gay people. Some of you yourselves have had same-sex relationships, but are in the closet about it. And I would encourage you to take a long, hard look at what you really think about gay and lesbian people. Are you 100% for what our hopes and desires are? And that might be, you know, it might be that gay people threaten you in some sense. It may feel like that we're some sort of like fun loving group of people until it becomes the issue of sex arises. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes a situation of something scary, something you don't understand, something you as a heterosexual person don't understand why two people of the same gender would be attracted to each other sexually. You think that somehow there's this shadow belief deep inside your heart that we're not equal, that we're not the same as you are, and therefore we don't deserve the same kind of rights as you do. So I would say that I think for every gay man, because a gay man's blowjob is the ultimate swing voter crossover.
So you're saying give a blowjob to a straight guy?
Suck straight men's cocks for equality. Yes. Is what I'm proposing today, people. I want you guys to go out, because our friend Ben Lerman, he was like, I'm not going to blow.
I'm not going to give it. He was, what was it? Cocksuckers of the World Unite is his song. I posted in the community forums. You can listen to it. And he was kind of doing like the Lysistrata thing from ancient Greek mythology, where the women stopped having sex with the men if they kept going to war. And so he's trying to say, don't give any blowjobs to these people.
But I would say that's where we fail as a gay and lesbian queer people is that we need to stop saying no to things and saying yes to things.
Yes.
Yes, we can. Suck yes, that we can. Cock. We can. Yes, we can in the alleys. Yes, we can in the at Steamworks. Yes, we can in our bedrooms. Yes, we can.
Your boss's husband.
On your boss's desk when after hours at work. If you're going to get fired from your job, do it on your boss's desk.
So we should just fuck our way to freedom.
We should suck our way to freedom safely, though. You know, because I think that actually, you know, we are one thing that gay and lesbian people are good at is fucking.
It's making love.
And we should use this tool, this resource for political gains.
So, Curtis, put that sphincter to work. Whip it out on some married guy.
See, I want Curtis to stop having sex with robots and actually start having sex with straight married men. Will you do that for me? Because robots can't vote yet.
They can't vote. Maybe someday.
Someday.
We didn't really have sex with a robot. It was a machine. It was
a machine is a robot in a sense.
No, because a robot has to have some intelligence. This was just like what was it? It was like a gear shift with a dildo on it, right?
Basically. I mean, you know, go online and search for a fucking machine.
A fuck machine, yes.
And we're hoping that this show will cheer you up, Curtis, and our listeners out there, because, you know, there are many reasons to celebrate, you know. So we're going to give today you some simple, straightforward things you can do to heal from the pain and turn the negativity into positivity.
That's right, because Curtis,
that's good, because it has been a dark day for me.
You are grieving.
Very difficult to be happy about the Obama win.
Well, you're mourning a loss in a sense, you know, and it's almost it's a big loss, I think, to the community and to gay people, you know, certainly in California, but throughout this nation and throughout the world.
Curtis was so mad that at Steamworks today.
What?
People were like getting like he was shoving people into the jacuzzi and not greasing chains on the. He was rampaging. He was like crying around.
He was
putting
tacks around the glory holes.
Yeah,
broken glass on the floor. People go to kneel to go a blowjob. Ow!
My revenge is very focused. I never attack my own. I go for last night when we were on the streets, I was like, okay, if Proposition 8 doesn't pass, I know that there's a Mormon church Castro leads right into Divisadero, which leads straight to the marina, and there's a Mormon ward house there, and I'm like, that's where we go.
What did you say? You had a beautiful quote about Mormon marriages.
On my Facebook page today, I am no longer acknowledging the validity of Mormon marriages.
They're all shams.
Yay!
That sadly includes my parents' marriage, which makes me a bastard.
And especially the ones in the afterlife.
absolutely.
Those marriages are definitely, definitely not recognizing them.
Just because you believe in a kooky Jesus that lives on the planet Kolob doesn't mean you get to be a bigot.
There's a planet Kolob?
That is.
Really?
Where Jesus lives.
Oh.
God and Jesus live on the planet Kolob. We can't see it, Mark, because of the veil.
It's all in the it's all in the Bible. You just got to read between the lines.
Oh. That was in a prank radio show when you called into a prank and we're talking about the planet Kolob, right?
Yeah,
that's
the
same planet?
That's the same planet, honey.
That's
there
the only
is
reason.
Reason
why I know that planet.
I know you're like from Radio Jihad.
Radio Jihad.
From the mid-90s, but a lot of listeners don't know who that is, but we don't have time to explain it.
So, Curtis, we're going to help you through your grieving process.
So what's the first step, people, that we need to do in order to deal with this loss?
You have to accept the reality of the loss. You have to look at it and say, okay, this is lost.
So we need to talk about it.
Right.
Because talking about it makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that this equality that we had temporarily is gone and may not come back in the near future.
Right. And so you realize that and know that it's there. And the other thing is, though, too, is like, so you realize that and there's a lot of pain or grief that you're going to have in association with this pain and loss. And it's okay to feel it. Go ahead. Feel it. Feel crappy and allow yourself that space to feel crappy. Go out and get that tub of ice cream and eat.
Mark
that
did.
Kind of thing. I did. I had some carrot cake today.
Yeah, you really need an excuse to eat the carrot cake.
What? You know, and so you have to feel the pain because otherwise if you don't feel it, if you don't allow yourself to feel it, if you just keep ignoring it and stuff like that, it'll come back and get you.
Let the tears fall into mm-hmm. your tiramisu, people.
Mm-hmm.
Let the tears fall.
Right.
And that's next step too, is you need to really experience the pain of mm-hmm. this loss.
Yes.
I would say, like, really sit there alone. If watching a sad movie makes you cry, really allow your body to weep.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's amazing how good you feel sometimes after you do cry. Because it does release a lot of emotion and stuff. And it can physically make you feel better.
Yes.
It
so,
will.
Curtis, if you feel like shoving somebody into the jacuzzi, go ahead and do
you
that.
Go ahead and do
well,
it.
You know, I almost yelled at a police officer today.
You
so,
did?
Yeah,
you did?
I,
what?
Need this, I need this advice badly. I was in such a bad mood. I almost what? Yelled at a police
what
officer.
What were you going to say?
I was driving and I changed lanes quickly and he wasn't going to arrest me, but he rolled mm-hmm. down the window and it's like, you can't do that. And I just, mm-hmm. I looked at him like, don't you tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You straight man.
Well, so
yeah, if you're a cater waiter and you're working on some straight person's wedding, sit on that cake. We're bringing back cake sitting. Yes. I want cake sitting for equality. I said, you know, until the boys and girls mm-hmm. come home from Iraq, they still haven't come home.
Mm-hmm.
The war's still going. Marriage equality is not bad. Now is a good time to sit on a cake.
I think we should sit on cake. So maybe that will be help your thing where you learn to adjust to the environment because this thing is missing. So you have to like, okay, so you might not be married. You might not be able to get married in California, but you can still have a relationship with somebody. You can still build a life together.
It doesn't mean that the love you feel for somebody else is any less valid just because the state of California mm-hmm. has possibly voted to take that away from you.
And so maybe you need to set up like a corporation or something like that or see a lawyer and see what kind of protections you guys can have. You know, living wills, those kinds of things. Don't adjust. Work around this situation.
So
that
so
way
we,
you can take care of that.
So it's accept the loss, mm-hmm. experience the pain, adjust, learn, and function. Mm-hmm. In other words, mm-hmm. keep going. Go to your jobs. Make sure you brush your teeth. Make sure you
comb
suck that dick.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and shave your balls. Curtis, I know you like to shave your balls, so don't stop shaving your balls.
Well, I think, you know, personal grooming is important. Is it in a way, because when you're sad and, you know, if somebody's died, Or laws haven't passed, you know, when in the last election where George W. Bush mm-hmm. got reelected, people would stay home and sleep in bed. Mm-hmm. It's good to get out of the house, do the things that you've always been doing, continue with that habit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, it's just like Dr. Evil said in the Austin Power movie.
What's that?
There's nothing quite like a freshly shorn testicle.
I'm sure that's true. I just don't like to shave mine all the way down. I like to trim. I just feel like it sticks to the side of my leg if I shave it all. I need that hair to kind of like...
But you know why people do that?
Why?
Because, should I gross out the listeners?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because people like sucking on balls. And they don't want a lot of hair in their mouth.
Oh, really?
So they want
I also just, I like the feel of my own balls without hair on it, I must say. It just feels better, like, when I'm just handling myself.
I just don't feel comfortable having razor blades near my testicles.
I must say, that is a little unnerving. But well, as soon as you figure out your technique and get a, you know, an efficient, safe technique going, it doesn't bother you anymore.
I'm okay. I just kind of trim, but that's...
And this is the last step here, mm-hmm. okay? This is the tricky one. Mm-hmm. You take the grieving energy that you've been spending and you turn it around. You focus on new efforts and relationships. Mm-hmm. So you turn this grieving energy of crying and screaming and destroying, you know, you break those vases.
Right.
And turn around and instead of breaking the vase, build a new civil rights movement in this country. We have a very, very favorable, intelligent, sympathetic political leader right. who, and a Democratic majority in the Senate and in the House. Now is the time for change.
These are people that should listen. These are people right. that want to work with you. These are people, you have your president saying to you, yes, we can, but you have to believe it, and you have to say to yourself, I'm going to take this energy that we put, I'm going to keep this momentum going, and I want to build something else. So that's one of those things.
What happened with Proposition R?
Were you following that one?
Which one was R?
Proposition R was where they were going to take the wastewater management
system. Oh, it failed. I was really disappointed. I did vote for it, but apparently, I mean, and it failed quite soundly. It was like 67% of the people voted against it.
Oh, yeah, it was a 70-30 ratio, they say.
They said that a lot of people just thought it was disrespectful, and I'm like, well, wasn't he?
Okay, so let's explain to listeners uh-huh. what the Proposition R is, because okay. they're all, like, scratching their heads.
Right. What? Well, Peaches Christ, who's a regular on the show, she was the spokesperson for this, and they wanted to take the waste sewage plant in San Francisco and name it after George W. Bush, because he's such a shithead. And
exactly.
So Peaches Christ, mm-hmm. The spokeswoman, mm-hmm. if you can believe that, for the proposition, and a this is a quotation from the newspaper, basketball player-sized drag queen.
She's a tall queen. Isn't that funny? I said to her on the phone today, I said, have you ever played basketball in your entire life? And she goes, never. But she goes, at least they didn't call me like a linebacker like they usually call Heck Lita. She gets that a lot.
Or just a fat person that they called Lady Bunny. Okay, so if Proposition R passed, it would have been neat and fun, but I don't think that there are any tears being shed. If it had passed, I had a speech planned, and now I'm heading to the Castro to party.
Because I always assumed it was just kind of like a joke. It wasn't so much about whether...
let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And even the people who were driving the petition drive and got mm-hmm. it on the ballot mm-hmm. knew that, and always had the attitude that it was a lighthearted measure, mm-hmm. that it was never super serious. If it passed, well, great. He deserves it, and it would have been a nice fuck you from the city of San Francisco to a person that we pretty much universally revile. Right. He has very few friends.
And I guess the people that worked at the sewage plant actually wanted it. They're like, yeah.
The union
we love
said,
it.
Go for it.
Go for it. Yeah. We love it.
But a lot of liberal columnists mm-hmm. actually said that it's just an insult just to have anything to do with
right.
all this.
But I think it's funny, too. There was a guy in Florida named Bob Katz who flew up for the victory party because he thought for sure it would pass, because he'd been telling people for ages, like on his own accord in a completely different part of the country, saying that somebody should name a sewage plant after George W. Bush. And so when he found out about this in San Francisco, he flew there thinking it would pass because he figured if anywhere in the world, San Francisco.
65.
So he's feeling the same crushing disappointment mm-hmm. that I am today.
65,000 people did vote for it, however.
That's
and as Peaches says, this was using the political process to make a loud statement about a terrible political leader.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I was one of the people who voted yes. I was in favor.
Well, of course you did.
I think I've told the story before. I'll tell it one more time on the show. I had a biology teacher in high school. It turned out she was a lesbian. But she said that she took a class to the sewage treatment plant, and the guys were there. And what they have to do, because all the shit gets churned up and they have to rake it out, you know, and like rake out like the tampon applicators and condoms and all the other stuff that people flush down the toilet. You'd be surprised what people flush down the toilet. And so he's there raking it, and he turns to the kids. He goes, you know, this might be shit to you, but it's my bread and butter.
Or so, just yes. it's the Nutella on his toast.
Nutella on his toast.
Really?
Do you like Nutella?
No, I'm not that big Bannon.
I like Nutella. I don't need it enough.
Let's talk about the pro Proposition 8 ads on our website and other gay websites. Google was, although Google, the company, and some of the leadership in that company were against and funded the fight against Proposition 8, the company did accept advertising to promote Proposition 8, and a lot of them put their ads on gay websites. Mm-hmm. Part of it, and so our listeners were sort of like yelling and got mad. And
especially because I didn't realize that it was there. Also, those ads are geolocated too, so most of the listeners in California saw them a lot.
Every time I was on the forum, there would be a Yes on 8 campaign ad that had Obama's picture on it.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
And so and my thing is, like, I hardly ever saw them. We get the soda pop ads about, like, is McCain the new Messiah or is Palin the new Messiah or something like that? Vote at sodahead. Whatever. And so I always, you know, I guess maybe I didn't understand the gravity of it. But the other part of me, too, is like, I want to leave those ads there because I want people to realize what's going on and I want them to see these ads. I think it's important that you know that they're there. And the other thing is, though, too, is like, if that ad is being seen here, it means it's not being seen someplace else.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, too, is, you know, people were drawing attention to the ads, and that violates our term of service with Google. So I'm going to ask people not to talk about the ads in the forum. If you have a question about an ad or if you think an ad should be blocked, you know, please email me and we can talk about it.
At mail@feastoffools.net. Mm-hmm. Please do so.
So, and other people, and I think that, because the other thing is, though, too, is it seemed like with Google, usually when you violate their terms of service, they yank the ads, then send you an email. In this respect, because people were drawing attention to the ads, they actually sent me a letter and gave me 3 days to correct it. So I think maybe they kind of knew what the deal was.
People aren't allowed to discuss the presence of an ad in
They're not allowed to draw undue attention to it or encourage people to click on the ads.
Because then it's click fraud. Is the way they defined it.
So you're not supposed to bring undue attention to it.
Even though we're always saying, support us by clicking on our advertisers. I mean, really, it's like, you know, if you go to the advertiser's website, that's a way of saying thank you to Feast of Fools. And today is the last day that you can to vote for us in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. So
sixth on Friday? Isn't the sixth? What's today?
The sixth is on Thursday.
Oh my God. It's the last day. You guys got to go vote.
So please go to podcastawards.com and vote for us. As people said, it's been a long, strange trip. And, you know, just the fact that we've been nominated, I think, is very touching and very, it's a great honor. And regardless of the outcome, I think it's really something special that us, one of the few dad and pop run operations, is actually standing head to head with some of these well-funded corporate giant programming. And I think that's really incredible. And, you know, not to blow my own horn, but blowing it, honey.
Well, and you should blow your own horn. You should be very proud of the show you created. And I'm very happy to have
always been amazed at the incredible dedication and the creativity and the brilliance, the sense of humor you guys bring. I mean, that's what initially attracted, you know, I discovered you guys and I was just amazed that here was this thing that was done 5 days a week by these people who were, you know, not being funded by giant corporate entities. And that's one of the reasons why I did everything that I could to get my company to sponsor you, because I really believe in you guys and think that you have so much to offer everybody in the community and you deserve any accolade you can get, and you should absolutely crow about yourself because you're fantastic.
Oh, Curtis, you're so sweet. Keep going. Keep going on.
Every time we walk into Steamworks, everybody wants us.
But you know, this award too is for us, but it's also for all the people that have contributed to the show and made it happen. Certainly to the sponsors that have helped fund it, and the people that have donated money to any guests we've ever had, to people that participate in the forum. It's a package deal. You know, there's many pieces to this puzzle that is Feast of Fools.
This is not just a vote for us. This is a vote for what the show represents, which is taking an outsider perspective and making it accessible to a mainstream audience. You know, the fact that we are the top 100 of all-time comedy podcasts, mm-hmm. that we are in the top 10 of the People's Choice Podcast Awards means that the world is hungry for this type of content. And the fact that we manage to sometimes successfully, sometimes not so successfully deliver it is a testament to this program and to the community behind this program. And so I would say I'm honored and deeply touched to be part of such a great audience, mm-hmm. and such great people. Even the shitheads who comment on some of the shitheads who comment on popular things
But the forums, I think they'll chill out a little bit now that the election is very stressful for a lot of people. I think a lot of people's nerves are frayed, and so I think that
it was sending people, some people who are teetering on the edge over the edge. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and I kind of admit that I've been there the last few days. You know, the stress of it all has gotten to me too. And, you know, I'm willing to accept my part of the blame, mm-hmm. for, you know, the failures and successes of this election.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's important, Curtis, to focus on the positive. We have our first liberal black president.
Allow him to feel his grief.
Okay, feel the pain.
You got to feel the grief. Allow yourself to feel the pain, Curtis.
You know? Pinch your nipples a little bit.
No, he likes that.
Well, this is painful.
Pinch your foreskin. I already had clamps on both of them before I even talked to you.
Did you like,
put those snake bite kits all over
the
body.
Hey, I want to tell people, too, that Reeling is happening. So you're gay and go to Reeling. The Gay and Lesbian Film Festival is coming out this week.
Yeah,
so
support gay and lesbian film so that it will get better.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a way to sell it.
Well, the films you mean or the festival?
The quality of gay and lesbian cinema. If there's an audience for it, it will encourage really great, talented gay artists to make the effort and tell our story.
Look, I'll just say it this way. The movies are great right now, and you should go see them.
Mm-hmm. But they'll even get better.
We all want to see good gay content films. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and I definitely and I think it's easier to get your stuff to market. It's certainly easier to make these things now. So, there's going to be a lot of good stuff and some not so good stuff. But we've got
right. Remember that Gus Van Sant came out of, you know, the independent festival circuit.
He did.
And now he made Milk.
His early films that, you know, led him to the point where he's a shortlisted Oscar nominee for Best Director this year, telling one of the most important gay stories in American history.
Do you think it's Milk's going to be good?
I have high hopes. I do have some bad news, though, for fans of any guests of the show. Apparently, the part of Rick Stokes, mm-hmm. was on the cutting room floor.
No.
It apparently, from what we've heard, in order to keep the film at a reasonable length, it didn't serve the narrative purpose.
Well, we'll tell it real quick. Rick Stokes is one of your bosses at Steamworks, one of the founders of Steamworks, who actually ran in an election against Harvey Milk and lost. He was the guy that lost. And we interviewed him in August of this year.
And he's one of the nation's oldest civil rights activists. So
yeah, I mean, a true pioneer, a great man who, you know, is very modest because I've worked with him for, like, you know, almost 2 years, and I didn't know half of that stuff about him. He never talks about it. Mm-hmm. He's so modest about it, and what he has done is amazing. And, you know, He's a hero, and it's too bad that his story ended up on the cutting room floor. But I have high hopes for that film, and Gus Van Sant is a brilliant filmmaker, and just the whole talent package behind, mm-hmm. that whole project, including the fantastic Peaches Christ as drag queen in crowd.
Sterling
achievement, I'm sure.
Not only time traveling drag queen, but drag queen with only one outfit.
And in two scenes.
Same outfit. I'm so going to get that on DVD. Hopefully the director's cut will have the Rick Stokes parts.
How are they going to have the election without him?
I know. That's so weird. How are they going to show the election without the opposing elect, you know?
Without the person who was running it.
It just depends on, I guess, what they focus on about the election.
Because
at the end of the day, his campaign, I don't think, was necessarily about who he was campaigning against.
Right.
Because his was a campaign that was more about put a gay person in office. And it wasn't about stopping somebody else.
And how wonderful that campaign had gay people running against gay people. You know? That's something in and of itself, certainly.
Right.
So maybe in the 2004 election, it's going to be a
2012.
Oh, yeah. What year will that be? 4 years from now? 2012. It'll be a black Republican running against Barack Obama.
With Sarah Palin.
I'm afraid it might
be Sarah Palin.
She ain't going to go nowhere.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay. Well, before you called, I had the TV on, and they were talking about, you know, her bright future.
Yeah, but you know what that is? That's 4 years from now. The other thing is that maybe she gets an education between now and then.
Well, right.
How much time does she have left to be governor? Two more years to be governor, right? And so what happens after that? Do you think she's going to get elected governor of Alaska again? Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, you know, the upside is that I have full faith that the Obama first term, the first of many, will be remembered and hailed as one of the greatest moments in American history, and there will be very, very, very little interest in changing leadership.
Oh, yeah, honey, that's a two-term easily. Like, this country has a love affair with their new president. I mean,
yeah,
so
people
obvious.
Love to build people up and then tear them down, like Paris Hilton, J-Lo.
It was very easy to make fun of George Bush because he just was like, you know, it was like he had a big target on his forehead because every time he opened his mouth, he just sounded so stupid. But, you know, they were playing some of the speeches today on the radio, and I'm just like, it's so inspiring to have a well-spoken, you know, mannered person leading us that we can just listen to him and respect just kind of comes naturally.
Yeah.
Whereas with Bush, it was just like, ugh, is he talking again? Somebody stop
him. He's a real straight shooter.
I can't wait to have a beer with Barack Obama.
Me too.
I wonder if he still smokes.
I can't wait to light up a cigarette with Barack Obama.
Yeah, I've heard that he does.
If he offered me a cigarette, I don't know, I quit a couple years ago. I might take one from him.
I would smoke with Barack Obama.
I would at least light his cigarette, although I would encourage him to stop because I don't want him to die any earlier than...
I'd be like, look at your lips. They're purple, Barack. You know, all that makeup that he's wearing it's got to be expensive to remove the purple off of his lips.
What?
Well, because when you smoke, the circulation around your lips goes down. Your lips get a little purplish.
He also looks antsy too when he doesn't have cigarettes.
I know. You know, he was just puffing. That's why they played out four songs before he came out, because he was backstage just blowing and sucking on that. He was like, okay, now I can face the country. Yes, we can.
I'm so jealous that you guys got to, you know, participate in like just a magical moment in Chicago. Curtis, I'm sure it was amazing.
I have never seen so many people in one space be so happy. It was just the joy was like in the air.
I've been at the group sex room at Steamworks. They were pretty happy there.
But not a million. You can't fit a million people on there. There was a
good try.
And for a good couple hours, the Castro was filled with joy and jubilation. Mm-hmm. And people were throwing toilet paper up over the electric lines that served the buses. And it just spilled out. And there were so many people that what should have happened on Halloween happened on election night. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's really touching.
We took over the streets, and a great DJ, David Harness, came in and played, and people were dancing, and it was really, really great until the...
That's wonderful. And so it was similar to the one when George Bush was elected then in 2004?
Four.
Yeah. Same kind of party? No. No. You ever remember any of these kind of parties for George Bush? Never.
Yeah,
no.
Not even Republicans were celebrating. I got to do the Obama fist with black people.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I have videotape footage of it too.
Like,
I was like, "You're black. Can we do the Obama footage, Obama fist thing?" And he's like, "Oh." And the guy was
and
like,
then he bent over and
then he kissed me so tenderly. You know, I think this. You know, being Obama being elected is going to make this country hornier.
You think?
Oh yeah. Obama's helping this country get its groove back. You know, and I'm not just making some racist tie to his race.
I haven't had sex since he was president elect. So
you didn't even masturbate?
Yeah, I did do that.
Well, there you see. Oh, he's trying to air my dirty laundry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we want to remind the listeners that today's show was sponsored in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears, your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube is the shame-free zone that keeps us all together. LifeLube.org, hit the sweet spot.
Oh, yeah. And if it takes a robot to do it... No, I'm just kidding. Well, the computer's like a robot, too. Curtis, will you ever live that down?
Well, I'm not embarrassed by it. I enjoyed myself. True. I had a good time.
Why would you be embarrassed about something that's true?
Would you do
Curtis Jensen right. has romantic feelings for machines
well, okay,
that can pleasure
him. I don't have romantic feelings for machinery.
Screw Prop 8.
I enjoyed myself. I had a good time.
Would you do it again?
Under the right circumstances, sure.
Curtis, I don't say that you are in love with machines that can pleasure you, but I don't feel comfortable leaving you alone in my house with my toaster.
Because after the blender was a little, you know.
I noticed a lazy Susan in your cupboard that really started to get my.
And the vacuum cleaner.
Don't mess around with
every
vacuum
time Curtis
cleaners,
goes
folks.
To the Home Depot, he just get a boner, and it's not because of the guys there.
Yeah, some people go to adult theaters. I go to the Home Depot.
He goes to the washing machine sections. You know, I know some people. This is another good news is that sex toys are now legal in Texas, Louisiana, and Missouri.
All three?
All three states.
Progress at last.
Progress at Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott has decided. He was the guy leading the fight against the sex toys. He has decided to drop his appeal last week, having notified U.S. District Judge Lee Yackel of his decision. As a result, sex toys are now legal in the three most, I guess,
fucked up states.
Fucked up states. Well, states that were really like persecuting and imprisoning people for selling dildos, for all things to sell, you know.
How dare you experience pleasure?
I know. It's so crazy.
So congratulations. So, you know, the thing that you can combine Curtis's fetish for sex with machines you can buy those dildos with a suction cup.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on the top of your dryer or your washing machine. Make sure that it's an off balance load.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right.
And have yourself a party for Obama.
Don't forget the rubber chicken.
That spin cycle, really.
Kids, do not do this at home.
Annie Sprinkles suggests to do it, though.
Really?
If you've got your own laundry room, I see no reason to not do it.
Well, just be careful. I don't want to hear any accents. I know a kid who said he was sitting on top of the washing machine. And he got a little horny, so he decided to masturbate, and he didn't have any lube, so he used a little laundry detergent, and then his penis was just like raw.
What would you like to hear, Mark Phelan?
Curtis likes Johnny Dangerous.
Well, let's hear Johnny Dangerous then.
Don't you, Curtis?
Yeah, I think I love his chutzpah, his energy, his. He's he tells it like it is.
Well, why don't
him.
You marry him then?
Raw.
Oh, that's right, you can't.
That's right.
Just kidding. Trying to make a joke out of a bad situation. No, he's fun. He
the irony
fun.
Is I'm really like not a big, you know, for myself personally, I don't really care about gay marriage that much.
As being married for yourself.
Yeah.
But you see it as a civil rights issue.
Absolutely. It's a matter of justice and equality.
How's your friend, your friend that has hard times accepting these kinds of things? What was his problem that he had before he wrote a letter to, who was it, to Ellen? Who did he write the letter to?
Kathy Griffin.
Oh, to Kathy Griffin.
Yeah,
okay.
Because she was making fun of gay parents.
Okay.
But he's actually quite angry, too. He's from a Mormon background.
Okay.
And He wrote kind of an angry thing on his family blog this morning where he confronted the Mormon members of his family.
How did they react? Do you know?
I don't know what the reaction is.
Keep us updated. I want to know. Yeah. Bye, Curtis. Thank you so much. I want to remind people, go to podcastawards.com and vote for us right now.
And remember, we can't make this show happen without your support. So what do you got to do, people?
Please donate. Buy a t-shirt.
Muted you.
Buy a t-shirt. Donate some money. Send cash in the mail. A check. Whatever you want.
And the music featured on today's show is the music of Johnny Dangerous from his album White Hot. Hot Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Get it while it's hot. Put it in your iPod. Listen to it. Mm-hmm. And rock out.
Support independent artists.
I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Killian.
We were joined by Curtis Jensen on the phone. You can learn more about Curtis Jensen, I guess, by friending him on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Jensen in California. And, of course, go to Steamworks and release the pressure whenever you can.
Right.
I'm Fausto Furnos again.
I'm Mark Killian.
And I'm Fausto Furnos.
And I'm Mark.
And this is the Feast of Fools.
Yes.
And this is Johnny Dangerous.
Yes.
And this is music. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
bands, daddies, and fairy queens. Boys with big bellies and nerds draped in ink. I love hot boys and jeans, white beaters and flip-flops, bootlegged cowboys, UPS men and cops. I love power bottoms, I love power top. Hot boys that nut quick to boys that won't stop. I like to bareback mostly. I play safe, I like shoot and ride daddy, then shoot on my face. I like some pretty good, thick or thin, small or large, as long as it gets hard with a healthy discharge. Give me some pretty thick, cause I love sucking on toes and goals and licking souls, elbows to assholes. I love to give dick just as well as get hit. But if you hit this, hit it like you mean. And I love a gang bang, long as I nut in him first, then tie me to a chair so I can watch the worst. I need a hot boy.
She can pop, girl, when I turn her around. She can work a tongue on her face, and she can move her body like a snake. I'm pulling down a thong from her dress, feel the waterfall dripping from her thigh to her leg. Drop the top, I'm feeling on her breast while she licking on my neck. I'll be pulling out the strap. We fucking on a table where I eat. Hot lotion on her meat like the stove by her feet. She got me all sweating, her pussy wide open like 7-Eleven. 24/7. She tell me her thoughts and her dreams, using the tip of her tongue in between. Time to dream on top of the world. I'm burning up, this a real hot girl. I need a hot girl, a hot girl, a hot girl, hot girl, a hot girl.